12:01, let's talk some football as we are 23 days, 7 hours, and 58 minutes from the official start of the NFL draft. It'll be interesting to see kind of where we're at with just 3 weeks to go here as we check in with our friend Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston to talk some Pats. Tom, good afternoon.
Hey, Gresh, what's going on? Hello, Christian.
Hello, Tom.
I found it very interesting that when Robert Kraft spoke last on the draft, it was, well, I'm going to let my guys do it, but I'm also going to put out there that I would love to come away with a top-flight quarterback. And that's my question for you, Tommy. I do believe Gerard Mayo said they thought there were five in this draft who could kind of play. I think that was a part of something that Gerard Mayo mentioned along the way. Are we now getting into the top flight quarterback sort of definition and breakdown? Or was Robert Kraft kind of telling his guys, yeah, there'd be a top flight guy at number three, and, well, I wouldn't mind having him?
I'm not sure if I follow that, but I think that Robert Kraft will love a quarterback that he can have as a franchise quote ornament that he points to and says, this is the guy that's going to carry us for the rest of the decade. This is the direction. This is the person we're tethering ourselves to, our coach and our quarterback. Now, there's certainly going to be a lot of questions about the coach right now, and Gerard Mayo has a lot to prove. Does not have the experience, is a vastly different person, and has a vastly different approach than the guy previous. But when you look at the quarterback, you can also have a vastly different quarterback if you go in the top three with a quarterback. And I think that Robert Kraft would like to say, okay, well, we're not sure on the coach. We hope it's going to work. We love Gerard, but we can be sure on the quarterback. So I think that Robert Kraft is going to have his thumb on the scale a little bit, at least in the perception of what he would like to have with the quarterback. Is that kind of what you're asking?
Well, a little, it's more of the, you know, does J.J. McCarthy count in the mind of Robert Kraft as a top-flight quarterback, or are the top-flight quarterbacks 1, 2, 3 in his mind?
I guess now I got you. No, I don't think Robert Kraft would pretend that he knows. I literally, in private conversations with him I've had, he doesn't know. He really reverts the fan level of, what do you think? Do you think this guy's good? He is just like the people, Gresh, that you meet who want to exchange ideas. And that's why when he says, I'm going to let the football people make the decision, I really do believe him. He doesn't talk about footwork. He doesn't talk about, you know, accuracy in a moving pocket. He doesn't have any of that pretense that he knows. He just wants that for his team. So I think Robert Kraft, if they tell him J.J. McCarthy's a top five quarterback, they would believe that. And I think the Patriots believe that J.J. McCarthy absolutely belongs in that top four conversation.
Oh, there you go. I usually turn my mic on there, Tom E. Curran.
I do that.
So I'm you know, so the first couple waves of free agency are kind of in the books right now. You know, I'm trying to figure out best available free agents out there. Are there any that the Patriots should be looking at?
I got you. About empty shelves here.
Yeah, say uncle.
Empty shelves, man. I mean, it's going in and looking at the closeout. The Patriots are more inclined, I think, Christian, to look at who gets released camp to fill out their roster. Well, you say, oh, no, but then Ezekiel Elliott might have been their best offensive player, or at least their most productive, soup to nuts. He was added in freaking August.
Why do you think they just kind of have no interest in him?
I don't know. I think they're looking at Antonio Gibson as the guy who they would look at as their receiving back now. But I did like the way Ezekiel Elliott played. He was much more consistent than Ramondre Stevenson, who I do think is a better player at this point. But maybe they felt these guys were all too redundant. Should have asked the question. Really should have asked the question last week when we had Gerard Mayo, because I thought Ezekiel Elliott was a real important part of the team in terms of embracing what they were about, showing up to work happy as a clam, and being extremely productive and excellent in pass protection as well. So I know that there's already intimations that there's a pathway for him to return to the Dallas Cowboys, but I don't think the Patriots – there's one guy I think that you could look at who's still on the market who I think would be an interesting re-add.
And that would be?
Ezekiel Elliott.
Okay, gotcha. It was Zeke. Followed along. Good, because I was getting ready to ask you about Kyle Duggar. How upset is this guy? Like, is he contract upset? But boy, I'm going to get $13.5 million whenever I calm down and sign. Is this kind of contract upset, or do you think he is really upset over this?
If he was really upset over this, then he should have signed the contract they slid in front of him. I mean, I get the being upset because you're being prevented from getting guaranteed money and having the opportunity to have a contract for 4 or 5 years. But the Patriots offered him reportedly $13 million in a contract that would, you know, be an average annual value of $13 million, which would put him eighth in the league among safeties. He's not a guy who's been to a Pro Bowl. He hasn't been an All-Pro. I've insisted since he was drafted here that he is an All-Pro caliber player. He just hasn't achieved that yet, in some part because of the nature of the team. But if he's not happy with the 13.8, then he should have taken the 13. So if he's disgruntled, I mean, sorry. I mean, there's a point at which every disgruntled guy with a contract is not, you know, totally justified. You get what I'm saying here? I mean, it's crazy. If it's a four-year, if it's a $50 million contract, Pro Football Focus had it projected his contract as being worthy of a guy who makes about 13. They offered him about 13. Now he's making 13.8 on the transition tag. What's he thinks out there?
Tommy, it does make me wonder if they're just kind of, it's a one-year placeholder with this guy, knowing that with all of the free agents they have on defense next year, that there needs to be tweaks to the scheme to get it to where Mayo and DeMarcus Covington, I think, really want it, is only throwing really the tag on Duggar an indication that schematically there will be some changes over the next 2 years and it will show up in who they do and don't retain.
Well, they said they wanted to retain him. They made him a contract offer, reportedly in the $13 million range. If he wants to prevent the uncertainty, I'd say probably take the contract.
But do you think it's tied into where they might take the defense in the future? Meaning change things in terms of the way they use safeties, or like there's an inside linebackers coach now. Duggar's kind of half inside linebacker. I'm just wondering if it's a little bit of foreshadowing to what the defense could become under the new regime.
The offer?
No, the where they're going with the defense, the scheme. Will they put more importance on different positions than maybe having the hybrid safety? Because it felt like that was something Bill Belichick was searching for since the mid-2000s.
Well, if they offered him $13 million, I think that they're still saying, hey, we still like our hybrid safeties. They have quite possibly the best safety duo in the league in some respects. Even though the team sucked, I would say that the combo of Peppers and Duggar was as good as any, because I think Peppers was a better player last year than Kyle Duggar, and they've drafted Mapu, and they have still the same general defensive mindset. Mapu is a hybrid as well. So I don't think they're going anywhere. I just think that, you know, if he doesn't like a $13 million transition tag, I just don't know what else would be out there. So, and this, you know, emanated from a report from Andrew Callahan, who said that he wasn't that psyched about it. And I think that Mike Giardi has indicated the same. But until we have articulated what exactly Kyle Duggar was expecting or hoping for, then I would continue to come back and say $13 million is pretty fair, man.
Yeah, no. You can really only show how much you love a player if you overpay them dramatically. That's how they really know you love them. Now that I would just call it the hard part is over. Now I'm just assuming the hard part would be the draft analysis of the quarterbacks that they want to take, because I saw a couple of reports out that now the coaches are getting into X's and O's, and they're focusing on that now to get that playbook down. So after quarterback, if they do take a quarterback, this is all we're spending our time on. Next position of most important need is what?
Left tackle. Left tackle by a mile. Because wide receiver is unbelievably important, and you can look at the Patriots and say, well, they don't have any wide receivers that are top tier. They don't have an X. And you're right, but you can't get it to the X unless you have the time to stand there and throw it down to the X. And continuing to try and get it done with duct tape and popsicle sticks along that offensive line is just asking for a rewind of 2022-2023. The protection beyond Bill and Matt's conflict and dysfunction and the coaching issues, the protection was a main reason behind Mac Jones' decline. He didn't trust it. He's not big enough to withstand it. And as a result, he was completely distracted by the rush throughout. So you've got to fix that somehow. And I think left tackle is the answer.
All right, so last one. How surprised were you when you heard that Bill was going to write a book about leadership?
Not at all. And I think it'll be unbelievable. If you guys remember in 2002,
Ooh, going way back.
After the Super Bowl. Yeah, no, he wrote an unbelievable op-ed for the New York Times about what it was like to have to defend a championship. It was really brilliantly done. He's a great communicator. He's a great writer, incredibly smart guy. And he's a great leader. It's unmatched, the leadership and what he got from his teams over the course of time and was a total anomaly. The Patriots were in terms of being able to get players to subjugate their egos to the greater good. There's, regardless of what we saw in the last 5 or 6 years, you're not going to see a team that is that selfless again. And that was in large part because of what Bill was able to foster. So it'll be a great book.
Yeah, I'm wondering who writes the foreword? Is it Kraft or is it Brady?
I don't think it's going to be Kraft. I would
take Kraft off the list.
Going to be. I would imagine it'd be a naval officer.
Ernie Adams.
No, you're gonna, officer.
Yeah, I'm with Curran. There'll be one outside.
General something?
Yeah, there'll be one out there. Yeah. General Sal his chicken will write one. But I would say Nick Saban, probably.
And, that's a great point.
And Big Earn. Big Ernie Adams might.
That's my point.
Big Earn might be okay on that.
You have to be. It's like for somebody, I would say Brady would probably write the foreword.
The bigger question is, who gets to do the audiobook?
Oh, it's got to be Bill.
I don't know.
Bill's got to do the audio. You can't have your book.
That's tremendous. If it is a first-person memoir, yes.
He's got to do it, right?
Yeah. It's.
I once learned about leadership from
He loves to be underestimated. He cultivated everything about his image in terms of being an iconoclast. Charlie Pierce once called him the last renegade or the last rebel in the NFL, and he was, because he would do things differently in order to foster a belief about him that he could then counter and have people say, well, I guess I was wrong. That was, you know, a Christian.
No, I think the book is great. I'm just wondering how many times it'll reference me.
Or will the book be called Dunsky, as in?
No, the last chapter.
There you go. Well, that was Dunsky, what I learned about leadership. Tommy Curran. Tommy, thanks, friend. We appreciate it. We'll catch you next week.
All right, guys. See ya.